All right, good morning, people of God. Come on, stand to your feet this morning. I just feel like you need to stretch it out one more time. Stay alert, stay alive, keep it fresh. And I also want to engage you in something that I want to do this morning, and that's pray for our city. And pray for our city. Listen, we are in Jesus, the light of the world, and we're called to be a city that's shining on a hill that can't be hidden, that won't be hidden. And Jesus came, he said in John 10:10, that he said, the thief comes only to kill, steal, and destroy. But he said, I came that you might have life and life abundantly. But we have an enemy. We are Rev City, and we're about reviving this city in Christ, to life in Christ. But we have an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy. You know that? And if you weren't aware, last night there was a shooting in that very beautiful downtown that was just depicted in that video. There was a shooting. 5 people shot, 3 people dead. And we are called to change the spiritual atmosphere of this city, and it will happen in Jesus' mighty name. But listen, it's going to require a people to pray and obey. And I'm so grateful to be the pastor of a church that is seeking God's heart, seeking God's will, praying for our city, gathering in groups and small groups and gathering together in midweek and praying and calling upon him. Second Chronicles 7:14 says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, turn from our wicked ways, seek his face, he'll hear from heaven, he'll come and he'll heal, he'll restore our land. And so I want us to pray for our city this morning. I want us to lift up those families that were affected by that senseless shooting. And I want us to pray and forgive the people that pulled the trigger. And just join with me and let's pray. And Lord, we thank you. We lift up our city this morning. Isaiah 59:19 says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. And so when the enemy's coming in like a flood and to work in fear and violence and death, the standard of God is faith, hope, and love. And we're praying this morning, Lord, for our city. We lift up those families that have been affected by it, God, who are grieving and mourning this morning, the senseless, tragic, sudden loss of their young sons or daughters, God. We lift them up this morning, God. We pray that you would strengthen, that you would comfort them, God, in a way that only you can, God. And Lord, we pray, Lord, for those that are injured and are lying in the hospital this morning, God, we pray, Lord, that you would cover them and heal them and strengthen them and reveal yourself to them, Lord, in the mighty name of Jesus. And Lord, now we lift up those people who were the perpetrators of this senseless violence. And right now, on behalf of our city, we forgive them in Jesus' mighty name. And we release them to you, God. And Lord, we pray that justice would be done, but we pray in the midst of the justice, they would encounter Jesus and they would come to know you as their Lord and Savior. And whatever it is, God, that's caused them to be living and walking out this life the way they're doing, Lord, whatever it was, we pray you would heal their hearts, God. And we pray that you would set their feet, Lord, upon a path that's lit by your word, God. And where right now there's anger and fear and hurt and rebellion and violence, Lord, stirring and driving their hearts, we pray that they would come to know the peace and the love and the forgiveness of God in a relationship with their Heavenly Father. Lord, this morning we forgive them. We forgive them. And Lord, we commit to not be intimidated by fear or violence. We commit, Lord, to be a people who will stand for the light of Jesus Christ, who will go and be the hands and feet of Jesus to those who are hurting and wounded and weary. God, we thank you, Lord, for reviving this city. Come on, before I close, come on, people of God, just begin to pray for Lawrence, Kansas right now, especially this morning as we've suffered this blow this morning. Come on, just begin to just lift up our city. Lord, we thank you that your arm is not so short it cannot save. It might seem impossible with man, but you can save a city like Lawrence, Kansas. Lord, we thank you, Father, for the privilege of partnering with you and speaking and declaring the hope that is Jesus Christ to this city. And we thank you, Lord, that revival is here, revival is now. People are going to be revived to Christ in great numbers. Many people saved and healed and set free and strengthened to stand and moving forward after they've discovered your purposes and promises for their life. In Jesus' mighty name, and come on. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard. I want us to say amen and lift up a shout of praise in this place. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, put your hands together for Jesus. We won't be drowned out by fear and violence and death. All right, you can be seated. You know, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5 says, mark this, there will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good, treacherous and rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. But then Paul to Timothy a few verses down in verse 10 says, You, however, know about my teaching, the teaching of Jesus. And he says, my way of life, my purpose, my faith, my patience, my love, and my endurance, even in the midst of persecutions. And so I just tell you, we shouldn't be surprised when stuff like this happens. It's unfortunate. It's sad. It makes me angry. As one who I believe God sent to this city to be a representation, an ambassador of Jesus and his kingdom, it upsets me in my spirit, but we shouldn't be surprised when that kind of stuff happens. But let me encourage you, you are the light of the world. You are the light of the world. Just like Paul wrote to Timothy, you know or you're being raised up in the teachings of Jesus, the way of life that he makes possible, the sense of purpose that he calls us to, the faith, the patience, the love, and endurance. Come on, we just got to outlive, we got to outlove, we got to just outshine those other forces that are trying to come in and take over our city and our nation, amen? So thank you, Lord. Thank you for just continuing to just pray for those families and pray for justice to be done. And, you know, I'm just so grateful for the way that our church has just navigated some of the recent changes, that we've stepped out in faith and just many of you just so selflessly just embracing the new name by which we're currently known and the mission that it points to revive people to life in Christ and revive our city to life in Christ. Just so grateful for the way so many of you have just been so selfless and so proud of you. And I just want to encourage you this morning as we look through, what I realize is that last week was the first week. It seems like our staff was so and our elders were so about just praying and preparing and praying and preparing that it seems like it's been a long time, but it just happened last Sunday. Seems like an eternity ago almost to me. But, you know, I hope that you were able to get this vision book this morning. And if you don't have one and you would like one, because I'm going to be pointing to it some this morning throughout my message, gentlemen, could help out. If you don't have one and you'd like to have one in your hand, I want to encourage you to have one this morning in your hand. Would you just put your hands up? Just lift a hand. Keep it up. Lift it up high. I see several hands up there. Just, gentlemen, thanks for helping us out, getting this vision book into people's hands. And I just want to continue to just speak a little bit about some of the substance and the meaning, some of what we believe God is up to when he's shifting this identity and causing us to be known by something different. And God's not afraid of giving people new names in a fresh season of identity or purpose. Abram became Abraham. Sarai became Sarah. Jacob became Israel. Saul became Paul. Simon became Peter. In a season where he's bringing focus and he's wanting to draw attention to a new season of purpose and focus, he's not afraid of changing our name. And so he's changed our name to become Rev City Church, and we're called to revive this city to life in Christ Jesus. There is an enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy, but we serve a God who sent Jesus to bring life and to bring light and to bring hope and to bring freedom and to bring forgiveness. This is the God we serve, and this is the name that is above every other names. This is the name that is the foundation, the only reason that there's a church to even be named, the only reason that there's even a building to be renovated is because Jesus. It's all for him, and it's all because of him, and it's all going to happen in him and through him. Amen? So our mission is to revive people to life. Revive people to life in Christ. You don't have to look around too far or too hard to just see that people are searching for answers. You don't have to look around too hard or too far to see that people are just gasping for air in life. People are struggling to just survive. And God's heart and God's intention for sending Jesus to you and to me was not so that we could just survive. He wants us to come alive, and he wants us to thrive. We're called to revive this city to life in Christ. We're called to reveal Jesus. We really are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're called to shine the light of God. We're called to do good works, and we're called to live out our faith in a way that causes people to see our God in heaven and bring glory to him. There's a call once we've been revived and discovered that life to begin to live this thing out in a way that reveals Jesus. We're called to restore reverence for God. reverence for God in our hearts and in our homes and in our families and in our churches and in our city and in our nation. Come on, as people are looking around for answers, I believe the answer is Jesus Christ. He's the light. He's the truth. He's the way. He's the hope. And many of the answers will only be found when our nation begins to turn back to God. When our nation begins to turn back to Jesus, when our nation begins to once again build our homes and our lives and our marriages and raise our kids in the truth and the light of God's word and his ways. Reverence for God restored. It's about prioritization. It's about God being given his rightful place. Listen, in some ways for revival to happen, some things have got to be revisited and restored. You know, I was kind of expecting someone this morning to come up to me and say, "Hey, Pastor T, the 90s called, and they want their jeans back." And I was prepared to tell them, "Hey, you hadn't heard, the 90s are back, like the 90s are in, like the 90s are here, like, what, isn't that right? Like the 90s are back, right? Like 90s fashion is like resurgent on the scene today in the fashion trends, right?" So you think I bought new jeans? I just went to the back of my closet and got on my jeans from high school. And I heard the 90s are back, and I was like, thank Jesus, man. Like, I've been saving that stuff. Like, now I just went to the back of my closet and just moved everything from the back of the closet to the front of the closet. Some of you are like, you might ought to put it back. But listen, if fashion from the 90s can be restored, and I don't know that I really love that. I'm joking. I don't really know that that's a good idea. And some other things can be restored too. Listen, some people think that reverence for God and serving God and building our lives according to his word have gone out of style. And I'm here to tell you, if jeans from the 90s can come back, you better believe and bet that a living God can be restored back to his rightful place and priority of our lives and our homes and our hearts and our minds and our marriages and raising our kids and building our churches. Come on, if you're going to put your hands together, put them together and give God a good clap. Reverence for God restored. But I want to focus on another significant word is revival and revealing Jesus and reverence for God and a revolution of faith and family values are being restored. There's significance just in and of the word rev itself. The word rev itself, there's significance. It's a verb. In fact, if you have your booklet there, just turn to the page. It says it has a cup of coffee up there and a Bible and some earbuds right there. Implying that, you know, it's good to drink coffee and read your Bible while you're listening to Christian music. But on this page, it says active faith that makes a difference. And on the page opposite is the word rev and the definition. These were definitions that we copied and pasted directly from online dictionaries. We didn't make it up. This is really what the word means. And the word rev, which is now significant, it's a verb. And can I just tell you, I think it's significant. And I believe God, that we didn't go to Google, we went to God. I believe that God renamed this church. And how do you know that, Pastor T? Well, because we prayed and we listened and we endeavored and we were patient and we valued unity in our leadership team that was privy to that process. And we believe we heard God begin to speak. And I'll tell you, in a lot of ways, it actually even went against some of our own emotions and some of our own good ideas. I believe God named it. And can I tell you, I think it's significant that he renamed us as a verb. We went from being a noun. Nothing wrong with that. In fact, if you think about it, there aren't many churches that aren't named after nouns or aren't nouns. There aren't many, if you really try to just rack, there aren't many ways that you can name a church and it be a verb. But he named us as an active group. He named us as a place of action and activity. He named us as a verb. And the word rev is a verb, and it says to make more active or effective, to make more lively or productive, to accelerate or increase, to become more excited, especially in anticipation of God changing a city and of Jesus returning to a spotless bride, fully alive and shining brightly and passionate for him above all else. And the synonyms of this word rev, this active word, include but are not limited to advance, to further, to quicken, to expedite, to stimulate, to spur, to step up, to increase, to fire up, to drive, to impel, to precipitate or forward, to ignite, liven up, perk up, wake up, and make active. Come on, I believe that we need an awakening. I believe we need a church to come alive once again in the power of the Holy Spirit and our conviction to live out what God's word has called us to live out. I believe we need a church to be awakened once again to discover its voice and begin in the midst of cultural chaos and decay to begin to speak the truth, to begin to speak the hope, to begin to speak the way that is Jesus. He renamed us a verb. He took us from a noun to a verb. And early on as I was moving here, the Lord spoke to my heart and he said, the church, I was just saying, Lord, what's your heart for our church? What's your heart for your church? And he said, I desire for the church to be a reactor for an uprising, an epicenter for revival. I desire for what happens in the four walls of the church where family is experienced and hope is experienced and forgiveness is found and life is happening. I desire for it to be to then go outside, a reactor for this uprising of faith, hope, and love, an epicenter. There's a shaking that's happening. There's activity that's happening. It's God's desire is that it's felt beyond these four walls. God's desire is in the way that our hearts begin to be quickened and moved and shaken in the presence of God for it to then begin to be felt in your workplace and for it to begin to be felt in the University of Kansas or on Haskell University. It's begin to be felt in your homes and in your schools, everywhere that God takes you. He's called us to be an active people. He's called us to be Rev City. He's taken us from a noun to a verb. But listen, our salvation is a free gift that none of us should boast. But once we've received that free gift of God's forgiveness that cleanses us and washes us and heals us and restores us and gets us back on track and takes us from a place of darkness to a place of light, there's an active life that he desires for us to walk out. Matthew 10:8, he commissioned us and he said, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse. He uses these activity words, drive out demons. And he says, freely you've received, now begin to freely give. It's time for the church to once again in a new way with more clarity and focus to begin to go and freely give what we freely received, this gift of grace, this gift of life, this gift of forgiveness, this gift of hope that only comes through Jesus Christ. Listen, we are a movement, and I love what Pastor Nick Willems, our original pastor, he said in his book, and he said, for a movement to not become a monument, there must be fresh winds of the Holy Spirit. The church was never intended to be a monument. It's intended to be a movement. It's intended to be a movement. Acts 17, verse 28 says this. It says, for in him, come on, look at your neighbor and say, in him, we live. Come on, look at your other neighbor, say, we live. And move. Come on, find another neighbor somehow and say, and move. And have our being. Come on, find someone else that you haven't looked at yet and say, and have our being. In him we live, we come to life, in him we move. There's this life he's called us to live out, and we have our being. We discover who we really are. We discover our sense of purpose in him and him alone. He's calling us to take steps. He's calling us to become active. Listen, hear me this morning. I want to ask you a question. I want to ask you a question. What's your next step? What's your next step? What's your next step? Come on, we exist as a church to help people believe in Jesus. You'll see it in this book. Believe in Jesus. Belong to a family. Become a disciple and begin to build the kingdom through the purposes of God in their lives. What's your next step? Today, is it God bringing you back to a place of believing once again and placing your hope and your faith and your trust in him and him alone? Today, is it maybe in a new way or a fresh way, stepping back in and beginning to belong to the family of God? And going out there into that foyer and finding our life group book and saying, I'm going to start belonging. I'm going to start connecting. I'm going to start building my friendships and my relationships in a way that brings life to me and encouragement to me and helps me to begin to grow in God. And that's the third B, become a disciple. That we don't just get saved to stay stuck. God wants to grow us to spiritual maturity. God wants to take us on and lead us on. There's some amazing things that he's called you to in life. Salvation is not just it's not just fire insurance. It's not just a ticket out of hell and into heaven. It's an invitation to an amazing adventure of faith. It's an invitation to an amazing life filled with purpose and significance and making a difference in people's lives. Come on, what's your next step today? What's your next step today towards this? And I want to encourage you, you hear me say it often, but it bears repeating, the most important step is always the first or the next step. God will begin to give you a dream and a vision for your life and some big things he wants to do or some big ways he wants to restore some things to your life. And it's good that you begin to see it, but I'm telling you, you'll never get out here if you're not willing to get out of the boat and take the first step. What's the next step for you? Is it just reconnecting to a church home? Is it beginning to get out and read and study your Bible once again? Is it getting a devotion book or signing up online? Come on, if you don't have it online on your phone or your device or whatever you use, you should go get the YouVersion app, Y-O-U in the word version. And in it, you can read the Bible at a click, and you can. There's all kinds of devotionals, and it'll begin to kind of shape and send you suggestions for devotionals for you. What's your next step? Maybe for some of you, it's just beginning to just spend time with God in the morning or in the noon time on your lunch hour or in the evening. What's your next step? Begin to just take steps towards Christ. Begin to take steps towards his purpose. And what you'll begin to feel is this momentum that begins to come into your life. Because God is always just looking to get behind his people, the people whose hearts are turned towards him and perfected towards him, his word says. And so when you begin to just take a step, come on, that prodigal son just took a step onto his father's property, and that father went running out to him, welcoming him and embracing him and throwing a lavish party for him. Just take a step towards Christ. What's your next step? You got to walk sometimes before you run. Colossians 2, verse 6 through 7 says it. You've received Christ Jesus as Lord, so walk in him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up. Listen, this life of revival and this life of activity, there's some amazing promises and there's some amazing things that we're going to see, and praise God, we're already seeing happening in our lives and in our church. But for some of us today, maybe it just starts with taking some of those elementary steps in Christ, beginning to discover and build and lay the foundations for the life that God wants to lead you to. Come on, take the steps. Take your next step. Take your next step. Maybe some of you this morning, there are some prodigal sons in this house, and your step today is a step back out of that world where you went and tried to do it on your own. And today, God's calling you, and he's drawing you, and he's leading you home with his by his Spirit because of his great love for you, and your step is just taking a step back into the house of God and into his arms. Take the step. Come on, we are called to live an active faith that makes a difference. But listen to me this morning. In the life, when we step out and begin to live this act of faith, it makes a difference in the lives of others, but it also makes a difference in our own lives. When you begin to step out, when you begin to live it out, when you begin to go, when you begin to speak, when you begin to walk it out, others are affected by it, but it also brings life to you. Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom. All the other stuff in your life will be added to you. If you seek to preserve your life, you actually lose it. But if you start giving it away, you find it. You know, there's something called atrophy, and it's an interesting principle. And, you know, when you start looking at it on a cellular level, you are always either, you're either dying or growing. There's no in between. You're either dying or growing, scientifically on a cellular level. And I'm just telling you, there's such a thing called atrophy. And whenever you don't use muscles, whenever you stand still or sit down for too long, whenever you become inactive. And listen, if you've got physical disabilities, that's not what this is about this morning. This is a metaphor. This is a spiritual analogy to just get you growing spiritually and going spiritually. There's this thing called atrophy. When you don't use something that God's given you, it begins to die. It begins to shrink. It begins to shrivel. It begins to lose its strength. And I believe that God's sent me today to just speak to you this morning, that God's calling you to get back in the game. God's calling you to begin to walk again. God's calling you to begin to step again. God's calling you to begin to run this race that he's called you to once again. And for some of you, you might have to stretch it out a little bit before you get back off the sidelines. But I'm just telling you, it's worth the stretch, because you're going to get back into the game and you're going to begin to experience that the backing of God's presence and the backing of God's Spirit in every area of your life. God's calling us to become spiritually fit. God's calling us to become spiritually active. Listen, 1 Timothy 4:8 says, physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things. Some of you really are glad to hear that scripture. Going to the gym will help you a little bit, but getting trained up in the ways of God will help you in every area of your life. Physical training is good, another translation says, but training for godliness is much better, promising benefits in this life and the life to come. Listen, God's calling us to run the race. Throw off the sin that so easily hinders us and entangles us and begin to run. But I want to encourage you this morning. Many of us, you're hearing this and you're holding back and you're shrinking back because of something that the enemy did in your life, something that went wrong in your life. Maybe you stepped out and tried it. The enemy, God's calling us to this active life of faith. Hear me this morning. But your enemy is coming against you with fear, doubt, and insecurity. And I want to encourage you this morning that that's all right. God knows. I don't know what you've been through, but God knows. And faith in God is not hindered by our own experiences and our own limitations. I'm just telling you, you begin to step in and out of some of those things, and God will quickly begin to meet you right where you're at. Listen, we want to welcome people of all, everyone in this city is welcome in this church just like they are because God likes them just like they are, and God loves them just like they are. But hear this. God loves them too much to leave them where they're at. He loves you too much to leave you where you're at. He loves you just like you are. He loves you right in your condition today. But he loves you too much to leave you stuck there. He's calling you into this active life of walking into some things and pursuing some things and apprehending some things and begin to live out some things. Begin to run the race. But fear and insecurity and rejection put us on the sidelines. Listen, I'm just encouraging you this morning. Get back on. Get in the game. Whatever it is that the enemy's used to put you on the sidelines of life or even in this church, you know, especially in this season with some transitions, even the past 2 years, there's just been a lot of that in our church. And if something has put you on the sidelines, I'm imploring you as your pastor, get off the sidelines and begin to stretch out those muscles and get back in the game once again. We need you in the game. Listen, you miss 100% of the shots that you don't take. And I'm telling you, if we miss it as a church, I want us to miss it because we're stepping out in faith. I don't want us to miss it because we're holding back or shrinking back or we're fearful of what people might think or fearful of what people might say or fearful of how it's going to affect our budget or we're fearful of this or that. If we miss it, we're going to miss it stepping out big and dreaming with God. Come on, that should have got an amen right there. Is it because it's 11:30? Listen. I'll have you out of here by noon. The Dallas Cowboys play at noon. I'll have you out of here shortly. Go Chiefs. Come on. I pull for the Chiefs, buddy. And I also pull for the Dallas Cowboys. And the only place that will really, really get tested is when they meet in the Super Bowl. And then what I'm wearing on the outside will only tell part of the story. The underwear I'm wearing that day will tell the true story. None of you will ever know who I was really pulling for. Worship team, come on up here. I want you to just get behind me and prepare. We will close with an upbeat song of praise as I send you guys out into this active life. The enemy operates in fear and rejection and insecurity. Listen, if we miss it, let's not miss it because of inactivity. Let's fail forward. Let's get back in the game. Let's get moving. Let's get going. And I've shared it before, but it fits. And I heard a lady talking one time about something that her dad used to ask of her. And this was an accomplished woman, a CEO of a large company. And she had accomplished many amazing things in her life. And she was talking about something that her dad used to ask her. And every week, her dad would gather her and her other siblings, and he would say this. He would ask this of his children. And he would say, "What did you fail at this week? What did you fail at this week?" And here's the kicker. They were only in trouble if they didn't have an answer. He expected them to be stepping out and trying some things that they couldn't do in their own strength. Come on, that's good. He expected them to be pushing the envelope and pushing the boundaries and trying things they had never done. He expected them. He was putting this in the culture of their heart to see impossibilities as the opportunity for God to move in their life and to be willing to step into it. Listen, if you've been through some stuff, if you stepped out once before and it didn't go the way that you thought it would, you know, I mean, you stepped into a relationship thinking that this guy was the one and your stud turned out to be a dud. Don't let the enemy put you on the sidelines. It might take a little bit of risk to get back in there, but you need to get back in the game. God's got something for you. Don't let the enemy put you on the sidelines. You stepped out in faith to step out and start a business or pursue a job or go back to school, and it didn't go the way that you thought it would. Come on, get back in the game. You always miss, rather, the shots that you don't take. And I, you know, I'm a big sports guy, and I was just reminded, this is so fascinating to me. Steph Curry, anyone know who that is? He plays for the Golden State Warriors. Yeah, I know, I feel the same way. But regardless of how you feel about him personally, it's maybe arguable, but not much. He's one of the greatest shooters of all time. And if you put one of the greatest shooters, no one can argue with that. He might be the greatest shooter of all time in the NBA. And do you know that he holds the record for most missed three-pointers in a game? And do you know that on one night in November, I think it was November 4th, 2016, because I looked it up. On November 4th, 2016, he went 0-for-10 from the three-point line against the Los Angeles Lakers. And the very next game, 3 days later against the New Orleans Pelicans, he set the NBA record for most three-pointers in a game. Back-to-back games. One game, a record of ineptitude. The very next game, set the record for the most shots drained in a game. He didn't quit shooting. Come on, how many of us, if we went 0-for-10 from the three-point line, we would just hang them up, you know? I've never gone 0-for-10 from the three-point line. I've gone 0-for-5, and they put me on the bench, but keep shooting. Keep shooting. Get back in the game. What's the enemy using to put you on the sidelines of life or faith or hope? Whoa. Come on, get back in the game. Take the next step. Come on, church family, just take a step this morning and just stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. Listen, I got to think that if God renamed us from a noun to a verb, it's because he's got in mind for us to be a people of activity, bringing life to our city. And I got to think that if he's called you to be a part of this church family, it's because he's got some things that he wants to get you going in and he wants to do in your life. And so this morning, if that first step for you, what's your step? Let me go back to that question. What's your step? Come on, no, don't be elbowing your spouse or whatever, you know. What's your step this morning? And before we close with this song of praise, I just want to say, if your first step is back into the arms of your loving Father to cover you in forgiveness for all the ways that you've been trying to do it your own way and do it in your own strength, I'm going to give you an opportunity to respond to the love of the Father, to respond this morning to the invitation that is Jesus Christ to a relationship restored with a God who loves you so much that you can't even imagine it. And if that's you this morning, I'm not going to put you on the spot or ask you to come down or do anything. If you want to do that later, you can. But right now, all I want you to do is just take the small step of just putting your hand in the air towards heaven and just saying, God, that's me. Who Pastor T's talking about is me. And I'm responding to the love of my Heavenly Father, and I'm receiving the free gift of salvation that is Jesus Christ. I'm the prodigal son, I'm the prodigal daughter, and I'm coming home this morning. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, for all these beautiful hands, precious hands just being lifted towards heaven. Thank you, God, for the work that you're doing in their lives. Thank you, God, that you're bringing them back home. And right now, just spiritually speaking, you're just grabbing them up in your loving arms and you're just holding them tight. You've been there with them in all the times, all the difficulties, all the struggles, all the bad choices. He's been there and he knows. And his grace is sufficient for you. And his love triumphed over every sin. His love triumphed over every failure. And today he's welcoming you back home into his loving arms. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for these precious people. Thank you, God. Now, right now, wherever you are, you can put your hands down, by the way, unless you just want to keep them up. What's your step? And I want to just encourage all of us to just quickly, as I pray, I want you to just, it's just an invitation of faith, just a response of faith to just lift our hands before God as if you're receiving the strength, the grace, the forgiveness, whatever it is. Maybe even today, your next step is laying something down before God. And today you're just lifting your hands. I'm not going to ask you to come forward or anything. You'll have that moment, that invitation at the end of our service. But right now, just lifting our hands before God. And maybe your step is laying something down. Maybe your step is giving something up that you've been holding on to with a white knuckle grip. And today God says, come on, my precious child, just lay it down at my feet. that mindset, that unforgiveness, that thought, that perspective about yourself, that curse that someone spoke over you that you've embraced, today just lay it down before me. And then as your hands are lifted before him, maybe you're receiving something this morning, the love, the forgiveness, the mercy, the empowerment, the courage of God to begin getting back into what God's called you to do. In Jesus' mighty name, come on, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for your grace, your strength, your courage, your might, your love, your forgiveness, just causing us to live and move and find and have our being in you, Jesus. In you, Jesus. It's only in you. And all God's precious people said, amen.